And take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. We have been working our way this summer through the book of Proverbs by topic. Proverbs is a book that gives us the very practical issues of life and tells us how to deal with them, how to live in a way that honors God.
And let's pray.
Father, we praise you and thank you that we can open your word this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we do, we might have your grace. We might have your truth. And we just pray, Lord, that it might hit home to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nikki, is that the first time you wore that dress?
No.
It's really ugly. Martin, that video? Music. You need to get different music. Jean, what happened to your wife? She left you? Have you ever been offended? I'm just kidding. Have you ever been offended? Who's been offended this year? Raise your hand. Somebody did something, they just really offended you. All right, put your hands down. The reality of life is that we deal with offenses. And that's what I was trying to do, goofing around with some people up front, that people say things, sometimes on purpose to hurt us. Sometimes by accident, they hurt us. We call that an offense. If you live in this world, even a very short time, people will offend you. Your enemies will offend you. Your friends will offend you. People you do not expect will offend you. The question is, how are we going to handle it? How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to relate to life so that we can deal with life when we are offended? I was joking around with Debbie Marcinko before service started, and I had asked the praise team to sit up front instead of up here, because we were going to show the video of what the youth did. And she sat here, and her husband's over there. And I leaned over there, and I said, you know, Debbie, I know when husband and wives are having fights by how many chairs are in between them. So she went up and told my wife. And Connie said, well, tell him, in 30 years ago in the church, he's never sat with me. So I guess I lost that one. What I would like to do this morning, I would like to turn to the book of Proverbs, look at a couple of passages, and teach us, learn from it, how we might handle offenses. You know, sometimes you're going to be on the offending side, and sometimes you're going to be on the offendee side. How do we deal with that? Let's look at God's word. Number one, avoid offending others. I think the very first thing we need to realize as it deals with offenses is that we need to do all that we can to avoid offending others. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. We need to do our best to avoid offending others, because once someone has been offended, it is very difficult to make the relationship right. Now, I do not believe we ought to walk around like we're walking on eggshells. I do not believe we ought to walk around scared that if we, you know, don't smile, or we smile too much, or, you know, we don't do this enough or that too much, that we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. You need not to live your life that way. But we do need to consider the fact, because we love each other, that we need to be careful that we don't offend others. Now, with that said, let me say this. with some people, it is impossible not to offend them. I think some people wake up in the morning and have just decided that they're going to be offended by every single person that comes their way. You know, if they walk in the door and you don't say hi to them, they're mad at you for the next 5 weeks. If they walk in the door and you say hi to them, they're mad at you for the next 5 weeks because you didn't say hi the way they wanted you to say hi to them. Some people are offended no matter what. You don't have to do anything. They'll make something up so that they can just feel offended. Maybe it is that they just want everyone's attention, but whatever it is, what some people realize, no matter what you do, they're just going to live an offended life. But having said that, we need to be careful. Look at verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. The word offend here means to break with someone. It means to rebel. It means to refuse duty or allegiance to those whom it is due. Basically said, it means that we do something that hurts somebody else. The word quarreling is the word discord or strife. So how do we offend others? Well, we can offend others by what we do. We can do something that is just offensive to somebody and they get upset. Or we can offend somebody by what we say or by how we say it. In fact, offenses can either be intentional or they can be accidental. I think because sometimes we offend people accidentally, we need to get to know each other. We need to get to know people. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it tells husbands that we need to live with our wives according to knowledge, which means us husbands need to get to know our wife and know what offends them and know what makes them happy. We need to do that with each other. Now, why do you notice there's a reason given why we should be careful in offending people? It says that a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. And quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Here we are given two reasons why we should not offend others. And they basically say the same thing. Once someone has been offended, fixing the offense can be very, very difficult. And let me say, the closer the person you offend, the greater the difficulty in trying to fix it. If it is someone you don't know, they might just brush it off their shoulder. If it is a friend of yours, they might really be hurt. If it is a family member, well, you know what it's like to deal with offended family members. Notice it says one is more unyielding than a fortified city. The word brother here does not necessarily mean a physical brother. It means a physical brother, or we can use the term, we are brothers and sisters here today, even though we're not related. It can mean either one of those things in this verse. People often carry grudges, not only for days, not only for weeks, not only for years, but you can find adults who have been offended by somebody when they were a teenager and they are still carrying that grudge with them. Some people take their grudges to their deathbed. So when you have offended someone, they are more unyielding than a strong city. Some people refuse to accept any kind of apology. You can email them. You can Facebook them. You can tweet them. You can call them. You can talk to them. In fact, you can put it in the newspaper, and they are going to refuse any offer of trying to get it right. Notice they're like the bars of a gated citadel. Bars that are gated, barred gates, something you can't get through, something you can't break through. Let me say this. There is a right way and a wrong way in trying to deal with an offense. And if you have offended somebody and you know you've hurt somebody and you want to get it right, don't email them. If you've offended somebody, you want to get it right, don't do it on Facebook. If you've offended somebody, you want to get it right, don't tweet them. If you want to get it right, there's only one way to get it right, and it's not picking up the phone. It is going and it is face-to-face, eye-to-eye, and sitting down and talking with a person that you've offended and making sure you do all you can. If you go back to the scripture reading I read before, as far as it depends on you, you do all that you can to get the relationship made right. It is a very serious thing. If you know you have offended somebody, you know that somebody has aught with you, it is a very serious thing, according to the Word of God, that you get that thing right. Let me show you. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Could be that you've offended them, could be something else, but you know that somebody else is upset with you. And you're there offering your gift at the altar, this according to the Old Testament law. Today, we could relate it to going to church or serving God in some way. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. The Israelite is actually at the altar with their offering, and they remember, oh, you know, Bob is upset with me or Mary is mad at me. I've offended them. Leave your gift right there and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You've offended someone, hurt them, make sure you get that thing right. Do it quickly. And you don't do it by calling everybody up in the church and saying, you know what, I have a prayer request. Romans chapter 18 says, go to them one-on-one and get it right. And if you can't get it right, then bring two or three others back. And if you can't get it right, then it's time to bring it before the church. Get it right. Romans 13, 17 to 21, we read it in the scripture reading. Do all you can, as far as it depends on you. Now, I realize, and I'm sure you realize, that there are just some people in this world, no matter what you do, they don't want to be your friend. And no matter what you do, there's nothing you're going to do to get things right with that person because they've been offended and they will never, ever give up that offense. They're going to hold their grudge to their deathbed. But having said that, the Bible says that you and I have a responsibility that if there's a separation or a wall between ourselves and somebody else, that that wall is there not because of you, but because of them. Bible says we need to do everything we possibly can to make sure that we are at peace with everyone. Get the offense made right. Listen to these verses. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. So now you are the person who has been offended. You have a complaint against somebody else. Somebody else has offended you. The Bible says, forgive them. Forgive them. In fact, the Bible's even stronger. God's word's even stronger than that. Listen to this. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, repent, you must forgive him. Now, your response right now may be the same as the apostles. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Seven times today somebody offends you and seven times you confront them and seven times they keep doing it. The Bible says, forgive them. We have a responsibility to forgive the offender. We have a responsibility to do all we can to do our best not to forgive someone, but if we have been offended, we need to forgive the offender. Avoid offending others. Number two, go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12. What do you do when someone has offended you? Number two, choose to be wise in reacting to an offense. Choose to be wise in reacting to offense. Look at verse 16 of Proverbs 12. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. The word vexation means anger. The anger of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. There are two ways you can react to an offense. And I would say this morning that we need to choose the second way and not the first. We can either act like a fool or we can act like the wise. We need to choose to be wise in responding or reacting to an offense. But let's begin with what the fool does. Look at the verse, verse 16. The vexation or anger of a fool is known at once. The word once means in that day. In other words, when a fool has been offended, before the day's out, you will know that the fool has been offended. They give it away. Their anger shows. The word known here, it means to see. You can see that they've been upset by something you've done. You will be able to see by the way they act towards you that very day that somehow you've offended them. You know, I have been around people that I accidentally offended. And all of a sudden, they begin to act differently towards me. You know, I say hi to them, they put their head down. Or I begin to talk to them and they walk away. Or you walk over them and you say, you know, have I done something to hurt you? And the clear way you know that you've offended somebody is if you say, have I done something to hurt you? And they, or what have I done to hurt you? And they say, nothing. Fools show their anger when they've been offended. They show it. Job chapter 5, verse 2 says, surely vexation or anger kills the fool. When a fool responds to an offense, they get angry. That anger, the Bible says, will kill the fool. Same thought is found in chapter 17, verse 9, and chapter 19, verse 11. We can either be the fool or we can be the wise man. Choice is ours. Fool before the day's out during that day will show that he has been offended and he is mad about it. But notice what the wise do. Here they're called the prudent. It says the prudent or the wise ignores an insult. They overlook an insult. The word ignore means to cast or to cover, to pass over in silence, to conceal. Just like God covers our sin when he pardons it. You know, a lot of people say that they are sensitive people. And because they're sensitive people, they are often offended. And they will often say that what they really need to do is they need to develop thick skins. And if they can develop thick skins, since they are so sensitive, they will stop being offended. Let me say, I don't buy that at all. I don't think the problem, when we get mad because someone has offended us, I don't think the problem is that our skin's not thick enough. I think the problem is that we're not loving enough. We're not loving enough. Overlooking an insult has nothing to do with having a thick skin. It has to do with being more loving. Some people say to themselves, well, I'm just going to start saying, I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm going to get thicker skin and thicker skin and thicker skin. That's not the issue. What we really must learn if we get offended and get angry is what we really must learn is to learn to love people. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says this, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Don't bear a grudge. Love your neighbor. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48 tells us, look, we're to love our enemy. Let me give you an example. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 45. I want to give you an example of someone who had been offended but responded with love. Now remember, I said the closer the person to you, the harder it is for them to let an offense go. If they've been offended by a brother or a sister or mother or father or a child, it becomes very hard for them to give up the offense. If it has been your best friend, often people carry grudges. Well, let me ask you this morning. Let's say for a moment your family has treated you poorly. It's often an excuse these days to do anything you want as an adult, right? Your family has treated you poorly. Your brothers, boy, they hated you. In fact, they hated you so much they threw you down into a well and they left you and they thought about killing you. Then they thought, because one brother said, maybe that's a little bit going a little bit too far, why don't we just take our brother and we'll sell him into slavery? So they take you and they sell you into slavery, and while you're being sold, God blesses you, but then someone accuses you falsely of rape, so they throw you in jail, and you sit there for years. Would you say that your family had offended you? How would you respond? Would you grow up as an adult hating every human being? Would you grow up as an adult hating your family and looking for every opportunity you had to do something to your family? In Genesis chapter 45, we see this very same thing. It happened to Joseph. Look at verse 1. "Then Joseph could not control himself. He had hid himself from his brothers so they didn't know who he was. Couldn't control the hiding anymore. Before all those who stood by him, he cried, 'Make everyone go out from here.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence." They thought Joseph, now in a position of power, was going to kill them for what they had done. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Skip down to verse 8. "So it was not you who sent me here, but God." With all the ways his brothers had offended him, he took the whole situation and he turned it around and he realized what God was doing in his life, and he held no anger towards his brothers. And he said to his brothers, "Look, you kind of did all this, but it was really God working through you, and God put me right where I'm supposed to be so that I can save lives." That's love. If you are continually being offended, you need to check your love status. I've been around people who are just offended all the time. Sometimes the offenses are really nothing at all, but they just get offended all the time. And you really need to look in the mirror and say, do I really love people? Because notice in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16, it says that the wise person or the prudent person, they ignore an insult. In other words, they are in such love with people, they are doing what God wants them to do, which is to love people, that when they are offended, they just let it go on by. Because they love people. The wise are patient with people. The wise say things, I'm not worried about what you did to me because you know what? I've done it to others. The wise say, God has loved me so much, how could I not love you with the love that God has given me? The wise say things like, oh, don't worry about what you've done. I forgive you. It's no big deal. They know that is exactly what God wants them to do, so that's the way they live. They live a life of love. Number three. Consider the value of overlooking an offense. Consider the value of overlooking an offense. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. Let me say, if you overlook an offense, first of all, it's glorious. Good sense makes one slow to anger, verse 11, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Slow to anger means to be long. People offend you, but you don't get angry. You are slow to get angry. It is to your glory, the word means honor or beauty, to overlook, same as we'll look at, same as we saw in chapter 17 and verse 9, to pass over, to cover, to conceal. We must go on beyond the worldly way of dealing with offenses and deal with them in a way that brings glory. Justin Martyr, when asked Christ's greatest miracle, he named his great patience in dealing with such great trials and such harmful people. It is glorious to overlook an offense. Turn over to chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. You know the gossip trail? How gossip can ruin relationships and gossip ruin organizations and churches? But the wise person, what do? They're seeking love. They want to be loving towards people. They want love to abound. So what do? They cover over the offense. Not only is covering over an offense glorious, but it's loving. There's value in doing so. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The word bears all things means to pass over in silence. But when we repeat an offense, when we go to other people and say, you know what, so-and-so just hurt me. You can't believe what they just did to me. When we do that, when we gossip, when we backbite, when we slander, notice we separate close friends. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. The way to deal with an offense is to go to the person face to face, eye to eye, sit down and lovingly talk about an offense. And get it right. Think of it this way. Imagine starting your week out with a clear plastic bag and a sack of potatoes. For each person that you refuse to forgive, you must take a potato and write that person's name on it. Write the date on it. And write on it what you've refused to forgive that they've done to you on that potato. And then you must take that potato and put it in the clear plastic bag. How long would it be before your bag was filled with potatoes because of your unforgiveness? But not only must you fill the bag up with all the ill, with all the resentment, with all the bitterness you have towards others, but you must carry that bag every place you go. It sits next to you in your automobile, on your drive to work. Sits on your lap as you dine out at your favorite restaurant. It nestles close to you as you sleep in bed at night. In fact, I heard if you have a sack of potatoes, you can put your arm and your leg over it, and it'll keep your posture just right. Everywhere you go, it goes with you. My, how it begins to stink after a while. Imagine carrying those same potatoes and adding new ones every time you're unwilling to forgive an offense with you day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And after a while, those heavy potatoes of an unforgiving heart, they start to weigh you down, don't they? They become hard to bear. What a weight to carry around spiritually. And they sure do stink. They stink to you and they stink to everyone around. Let me ask you this morning. Are the potatoes in your bag because someone has offended you? Understand, it is glorious and it is loving to forgive offenses. And when you don't, you're just acting like the fool. And God wants us to be wise. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you may be here this morning with some potatoes in your bag. Maybe there's some family members or friends that have offended you and you've been unwilling to forgive them. Understand, God's word says that when you do that, you're acting just like a fool. But if you want to be wise, whatever they've done, whatever the grievance, whatever the cause of complaint, if you want to be wise, the right thing to do is to forgive them. Think about all that Christ has forgiven us. How could you not forgive them for what they've done to you? Take a moment in silence right now. Your eyes closed, your head bowed. Can you see a face maybe that you haven't forgiven? The Bible says, leave your gift at the altar and go get it right. Don't let this week pass. Father, we lay our lives before you this morning. And we ask, Lord, that we might be wise. Help us, Father, when we are offended, to cover it over, to act in love, to learn to forgive. And even if it's something that we need to talk to someone about, help us, Lord, to do so with love for the purpose of restoration. Help us, Lord, not to offend others. And I pray, Lord, as we live our lives and as we act like the wise, that people might see it and want to know the Lord that we serve. And Father, in doing so, may we uplift your name. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'll ask her.